Blog Talk Radio.
Yeah. Cardi Gang, put it up, man. Damn. Beat right, baby. Yeah. Beat down. You ain't no shit. I said, ball shit. Stand up. Stand up. The beans on city fit. Ball shit. Stand up. Stand up. The beans on city. Ball shit. Stand up. Stand up. The beans on city fit. Ball shit. Stand up. Stand up. The beans on city. One time, say the name. One time, where we at? Bring it back home. The Celtics, the Bees, and the Patriots. Red Sox swinging, we beat down slugging. Aerosmith rocking out the big North Garden. Y'all don't want Tessie, y'all want Cardi. C-top, 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 Roddy. I'm the only rapper alive, bring metal like this. My life shows a vibe, I don't ride like this. From South Park to Southie, Roxbury, Metapan, Dorchester, Somerville, Winter Hill, J.B., E.C., Nancy. Y'all want Cardi, Eric, Morgan, stand up, suburbs, Lowell, Lawrence, this, that, murder, three strikes, man, y'all know what it means, y'all don't get it, y'all ain't from the beans, ball shit, stand up, the beans, your city, man, ball shit, stand up, the
beans. Well, welcome to the Diamond on the Roof show with Ordinary Woman, Charlie Alejandro, and Mountain Man, known as Chris. How's everybody doing tonight?
What is going on? Chris is in the house. I thought you were going to have to do the show by yourself tonight. I sounded like Squeaky Mimi on Tuesday. Like, literally, it was like... I was like, of course, my family was loving it, but I wasn't. Yes, I got my voice back. I actually was being very quiet all day just so I wouldn't lose it because it's still crackly. But I'm like, yeah, Chris would love that. I'll have to, like, slap you every time I wanted you to say something for me.
Yeah, you would, or you would have to go onto Facebook and go there.
Yes,
and
type. Oh, my goodness. Oh,
you'd
can
have to
you
type
believe...
Every-
I know, type. Chris. Oh, man, for those of you that do not live in the East Coast of the United States, OMG. I never thought I'd say those three things out loud. I don't know what is going on. We just keep getting pelted, snowstorm after snowstorm, and honestly, I'm going to put a clothes sign on my porch and on my sidewalk because I have no more room for it. All done. No spring. I don't know where I'm going to put it.
Oh,
wow.
My goodness.
And I guess we missed a big one because we were supposed to get some ridiculous amount, like a foot to 2 feet. And I guess it did something at the last minute. Or.
Yeah, well, the forecast model that they were showing had us going in a couple of different directions, I guess. But luckily, the storm that we had last night, which was Monday night Wednesday.
You all right? What are you
today.
Drinking?
I'm,
Monday night? Hello.
I don't know. What day is going right into the next for me?
What year are
but
we in? No, yeah, you're right. Last night, it wasn't as bad as they thought, which is why I figured we played Boston stand-up.
And it started right around 11:30 Eastern time.
Yeah.
For us in the Northeast corridor here, which was awesome, and it went into the overnight hours, which was awesome, so not a lot of people out on the roads.
Well, the reality is that this keeps up, the kids are going to be in school till like summertime, because they've already missed like 3 or 4 days, and it's not because it's like, okay, tiny little bits of snow, I'm talking like pelted, 6 inches, 8 inches, a foot and a half.
Exactly,
so
and
we
we're
really
still
don't have
not out of the woods.
It. Oh, my
we're
God.
Still not out of the woods because I guess there's a little, a few flurries that are coming in to, I think they're saying tomorrow that flurries are coming in. And Saturday, a few flurries are coming in for the northeast area of the United States. But anyhow.
Anyhow, that's the weather report.
That's
how we do
the
weather
as we know it.
Oh, man. Hey, Angel Girl. Angel Girl's in the chat room. Real quick, Betty Bill, my regular. Heidi. Hey, Heidi. Angel Girl. I got Infamous Angel in there. JJ, Mary, Robert. Hi, guys. Starlight, Victor, newbie, newbie in the house, and William. Hi, guys. Welcome one and all
Hello, guys.
Our chat room. And I'm so glad that you're all here. I'm so excited that everyone has been able to come out and join us. I have to say something real quick because it's, I don't know, I'm just so excited about the caliber of guests that we're going to, that we've been having and are going to continue to have. But I want to mention this real quick. All right, housekeeping, because I'm just so excited. www.blogtalkradio.com/ordinarywoman. That is the website where you can find us. Go to Ordinary Woman, and you will see the segment page. You can click on that cute little player right there and listen to us live. If you can't, then you can listen to us later. You can listen to us on YouTube. I can't talk. iTunes. Hello. I changed the name.
iTunes. Come on.
Birthday with my new mouth. iTunes. You can listen to us there. We're also on Podomatic. You can listen to us that way as well. Also, if you go to my blog, www.ordinarywomanwmn.com, there's a player there as well, so you can catch up and read some of the cool stuff that I've written in the past about life in general and our family, and also listen there as well. If you're on the road, you can call into, if you have a smartphone, you can go to the mobile site for Blog Talk Radio, listen to the program that way. If you can't do that and you want to call in, call us at 1-347-989-1473. That number will bring us into our switchboard. You can have questions, comments, concerns, anything you want to share with us, that's the number to call. Also, if you don't want to talk to us and you want to catch the show on the road, if you call that number, you'll have the opportunity to listen to the show live on your phone. So that's it. For those of you that incur expenses
also,
when you call us, yes, we are like moving
also,
up people.
If you're afraid of a toll call, you can call
that's
us
right.
at 1-877-907-7217.
That's right. We are moving up. We got a toll-free number now. Angel Girl's asking me, Infamous Angel, she's like, what's wrong with your voice? I was just explaining that literally 2 days ago, nothing was coming out. It was squeak, squeak, squeak. So now I'm a little hoarse, but I'm feeling a lot better. And, yes, I'm here. I am so excited. Anyway, what I was saying is I have to tell you, next week you have to join us. You have to join us because you guys knew I was excited because we've had guests from Florida. We've had people from California. We've had people from Canada. And we've actually had a couple of listeners, actually more than a few listeners from Australia and Costa Rica, Central America, all over the place. But next week, we are so excited. We're going to have the phenomenal screenwriter, Deborah Louise Robinson. She is going to be our guest live all the way from London, England, from England. She's going to be calling into the show. Yes. And along with her, it's going to be a tag team. We're going to have the amazing talented Pamela Blasner. She's a published author, and she's written a creepy, crawly, scary book called Calcoon, which is actually being made into a full-length feature movie. And Deborah Louise Robinson was her screenwriter for that particular project. So I'm really excited that they're going to be on the show and that they're going to get the opportunity to tell us about that. And I'm just excited that I'm going to have a caller from England. I think that is so cool. So, yes, we're expanding over the pond, people. Oh, I'm telling you. Angel Girl, yes, I need to drink a lot of water. I really do. Also, the week after that, hold on as I bring up my calendar because I'm a little brain dead right now. So that show is going to be February 3rd. Also, they're going to be on the first hour. We're going to have them both together because they're amazing and they're going to kind of play off each other, which I'm very excited about. second hour, we're going to have a potpourri. We're going to have, Horace V is going to call back. He's going to be on the show again tonight. Got a lot of demand for him, people calling in wanting to know when we're going to have him back. And he agreed to, he's going to be back tonight for the second hour to embellish more on what he talked about. Also, if anybody wants to have a mini reading or they have a question for him or any of that, welcome to call in. That'll be the second hour. We're getting him back next week as well, so I'm excited about that.
Wow.
Let's see. Yeah. So we have a lot of amazing guests coming up. Also, after that, February 10th, you have got to be here. We've got the double whammy power here. We've got Amanda McCarthy, phenomenal singer. She's going to be on the first hour. The second hour, this is like a family act because they're all related. Anthony Garcia, another amazing, he's a beat maker and a dancer, and I'm just wicked, wicked excited to have him. And I know I'm going to get Debbie Scaduto to call in because she represents them and their family. And I heard Debbie showed Anthony all the moves he knows. We're going to have him have a dance-off. I think that'd be cool. Old school, new school. See who does that.
That'd be awesome.
Yes. Also, in February, we are going to have the phenomenal dynamo, Terry O'Donnell. She is actually the dynamo driving force behind the movie coming up, Oxytown USA, the project. I have been blessed to be part of. We're going to be filming. I have a part in that movie. So she's going to be on the show, and we're actually going to take up the whole 2 hours because on top of her, we're going to have some of the cast members as well and some of the production people. So that Oxytown USA will be on the house that night. And, yes, we just have some just a lot of amazing guests. I was just excited about the fact that we're just looking up so quickly. So Carrie O'Donnell is going to be on the 24th. She'll be here. Also, Paul Bellevue, he is one of the people that is actually going to be in Oxytown USA as well. He is an NPR host and an actor and just an all-around amazing, positive person. He's going to be here on the 17th, which I am just so excited about. Another power that we're going to have, remember last week we heard the coffee song by Julie Kinchek. Well, she's actually going to be on the show March 3rd. So that's going to be something that I'm looking forward to. As well as the second week in March, we're going to have the driving force behind Surefire Studios. Brady is in the house. BB, I call him Brendan Brady, is going to be here. He's a producer extraordinaire. So those are just some of the talents that we have coming up, and I'm so excited about. Oh, and don't forget, John Mars, he's going to be in the house as well in the coming month. John, if you have not checked out his book, go check it out. He's on Facebook, JONMERZ, John Merz. He has a new book out called Kenzie, and it is amazing. Will blow your socks off. Love the characters in the book. You don't have the book yet? Get that book. Andy. Hey, Andy in that house. Andy would love John's book. If you get a chance, Andy, check it out. Kenzie, go to John Merz's fan page and say, hey, what's up, John? Charlie sent me. Check me out.
That is awesome.
His books are amazing. And also his book, he has a vampire series called The Fixer. That's also going to be made into a TV show. So that's something that's exciting about. I have the privilege to audition for a small part in that as well. So I'm excited about that. And John is a dynamo. Not only is he a writer, he's like extraordinaire in martial arts. He does all this amazing stuff, stunts and just crazy sword fighting and all this amazing cool stuff. And on top of that, he's just a downright nice person. You know, there's nothing cooler than when you run into someone that is not only talented, but they're nice, because that just brings it to a whole different level. So I'm excited about that. So real quick, everybody that's here, you know, www.blogtalkradio.com/ordinarywoman. You guys know the number to call in. Don't be shy. Call in if you have any questions for our guest. Mountain Man, I think we have a caller.
I think we do. And we've got the amazing Amy Moquin.
Moquin, that's
here.
Like Amy.
Amy, how are you doing this evening?
I'm very good, you?
Good. This is Mountain Man.
And I'm in the house. Amy, my woman, this woman is like chasing the elusive pot of gold over the rainbow. She is such a dynamo. She's busy, busy, busy. I've been trying to get her on the show for a while. So excited that I finally have her. And you guys are going to love this lady. Amy, we're going to go right into it. Tell me, how old were you when you started singing?
Well, I've been singing since I think I was born, but like publicly about 3.5 years ago.
Really? With that voice?
Yeah. Yeah, I never, you know, I was never too sure of myself. I didn't have the self-confidence to get out there. You know, in my early 20s when karaoke first came out, you know, when I would get, you know, have a few drinks, I would get my nerve up and I would get out there and do it.
Braver woman than me. That's one of my bucket list things, to do karaoke before I die. Haven't done it.
You know,
I
got
when I used to. Yeah. Now, I got to ask you, Amy. I have to see Amy. I ran into Amy. I was a guest judge on Deborah Crosby Talent Quest back January last year, a year ago. And I talked to you guys about this a couple of shows back because, you know, I've been a guest at other talent shows, and you're like, please someone just shoot me to put me out of my misery, because you go through these 30 acts. And some of them, God love them, they've got courage, but they're all right, but not something I'm going to hear all night, you know what I mean? And
exactly.
I was blown away by the caliber of talent that Deborah managed to get into the same room for this talent competition, because, you know, the first singer came out, and I'm like, all right, we got a winner. And then, you know, same thing, the second one came out, I'm like, okay, maybe not. And it just, act after act, was amazing. And I have to bring up Amy, because one of the things that got me was Amy goes out there and she's belting this song, but she's got the attitude and she's got choreography. She's actually doing this little dance thing to it. And I asked her about it afterwards. I don't know if you remember, Amy. And you wind up telling me that you came up with that like shortly before you started.
Oh, yeah. It was like that like maybe 2 hours before I left my house in my kitchen. Running through it, yeah.
Wow.
That's what I said. I was like, what? Are you serious? I mean, she had the attitude. She had the swagger. I mean, she just had the whole package deal. So, Amy, what finally got you the courage to go out there and sing in public?
Well, I'll tell you, there was a local competition in my town. It was called Tanner City Idols. And one year, I heard about it. So I just read a little article in the paper, and I went and I auditioned. And I didn't make it. And I was like, oh, no big deal, until I saw the program on TV, and then I went, wait a minute, I'm way better than those people. You know, in my head, I thought I was better. And don't get me wrong, because there was some amazingly talented people in it. But in my head, I thought I was way better than them. So the next year, I kicked it into high gear. I knew when the auditions were, and I went and I made it, and it was great. And then I sat there humbled throughout the entire rehearsal process going, yeah, what was I thinking that I'm better than these people? There was some,
I love it.
Like, honestly, there was some, like, crazy talent. And I looked around and I went, oh, my God, all these people are from my hometown, all from the same city. And, you know, Peabody's got a lot of people in it, but still, like, there was, like, 16 or 18 people that were in this show of all different ages, and they were all unbelievable. So I had to, like, completely step up my game. It put a very different perspective on what I thought was good, because I thought I was fantastic before that. And, you know, and then I went, oh, wow, you know what? I have all this to work on, and I realized there was so much more than just singing in order to be good, because I could sing, no doubt, but I didn't have that whole performance factor, and that's really what makes the difference. I've seen many, many people over the last few years that if you were just going to sit down and listen to them, you'd be like, how could this person not win? But then you have to think about it. People don't pay money to go to a concert to listen. They go for the whole experience. So it really
That's very true.
They're not there to listen to you. They're there to see you and feel you, and you have to put it all together in order to achieve that. And you know what? It took me 3 years to win that competition that I was talking about. 3 years of doing it, and I finally won it. So,
well, that's,
but it made me the better performer.
Well, see, that's very true, because I totally agree with you, because as a matter of fact, bringing up that competition that I saw you in, there was one particular performer, I'm not going to lie, that child, because she was very young, absolutely blew the rafters off the roof vocally, but she didn't know how to work the stage yet.
Mm-hmm.
And again, that's because of inexperience and stuff, and you're absolutely right. I am not going to pay money to watch someone stand in the same spot, no matter how amazing their voice is, because it is going to get stale after a while. I want someone to entertain me. And we've seen that in the past with Celine Dion. We've seen it with Madonna, the epitome of a showwoman, Michael Jackson.
Absolutely.
Yeah, these people have had longevity where Madonna is in her 50s, and she still has 13- and 14-year-olds going absolutely crazy for her, because she keeps the stage performance fresh. She knows how to own the stage.
Right,
she knows
how
to do that.
Yeah, and, you know, I always say, if I want to listen to something great, I'm going to listen to the track that took 46 takes that's perfect and has been remastered. But if I go, if I want to see something live, I want to see, like, I want to see something. I don't just want to hear it. So, you know, that's what I always focused on once I realized what was really important. And, you know, that's what I look for when I screen these auditions for the show. That's what I look for. It's not just how good you sound. It's the whole picture.
Now, I have to ask you, what did you do to prepare to be able to bring the whole package, to, like, bring it to win that competition? Because I know you were there vocally.
Yeah, I watched everything I did. Like, I literally would videotape myself rehearsing and go, oh, my God, don't move like that the next time. You know, and still to this day, whenever I do something and it gets videotaped and then I watch it, I go, oh, my God, don't ever stand at that angle again, or don't move that way. You have to really, it's like a sports player who watches film of the games or of the opposing team. You have to look at it and go, what was right, what was wrong, and know what's wrong, because some people don't have the ability to look at what's wrong with themselves. They look more at all the right things and think that, oh, I did this great, I'm going to do that again. But what you really have to look for is, what did I do wrong? What didn't sound so great, or what didn't look so great?
That's absolutely correct, because that doesn't just apply to singing. It applies to public speaking. It applies
absolutely.
To acting. It's something that you have to dissect, because even in public speaking, if you step, you know, a foot in this direction, you lose half the audience. So it's something about being centered and that kind of stuff. Now, what kind of, you said that you watched yourself, you dissected that. Now, what else did you do to prepare? Did you take acting lessons, dance lessons, any of that? Or what were some other things that you did?
No, I have had, like, a very few vocal lessons, but usually what I would do, because they are pretty expensive to get in with somebody who is good and knows what they're doing. And I would do it when I had a song, and say I had a competition that I knew I was doing, and I picked my song, and I knew that that's what I wanted, but I knew it wasn't quite right. I would then go to the vocal coach and say, clean this up for me. And then, you know, they help you clean it up. It's like an extra set of ears that says, okay, do this, don't do that. I would pretty much do that, and once again, I would just continue to look at myself. And I'm my harshest critic. There's nobody that will judge me harder than I do, so that's why I do that. I video and I watch myself do it, you know, and I say, if I can pass my own test, then I don't even care what the judges say, as long as I can pass my test. So,
you know, that's a great concept, because some people, I've noticed, because I've been around the field, some people can have the best show ever and they will still dissect themselves in a not positive way.
Mm-hmm.
Nothing positive coming out of it. And for you to be able to say, okay, this is the best I could do right now, and be able to walk away feeling good with what you did, regardless of what the judges say, is pivotal, very pivotal. Because some people just don't have the ability to do that, just like some people say, well, the judges were horrible, they had it against me, whatever, instead of saying, okay, maybe I needed to prepare a little bit more, change this, change that.
Well, that's, you know what, that's a very typical thing these days, is everybody wants to blame, they want to blame something on someone else. And quite frankly, I say take responsibility for yourself and don't say, you know, this one won because they knew this person, or, oh, it was fixed, which is always my favorite one to hear, because everyone always says, oh, it was fixed. Well, you know what, it's, if you're doing this simply to win, then you're not doing it for the right reason. Because
you know, that's
kind of
good.
I don't do it to win. You know what I mean? I love
right.
to win, don't get me wrong, and I always bring it to win. But
mm-hmm.
if I don't win, my life doesn't end. You know what I mean? I still go on the next day, and I have my kids, and I have the next show, and I have whatever else there is coming. I don't do it to win. I do it because I enjoy it, and it's fun. And if it's not fun, you shouldn't be doing it. So I always try to tell everybody, it's not about winning.
You know, Amy, I got to stop you right there, because that is such an incredible, valuable life lesson. Because I coach soccer, and that's one of the things that I've always told my girls. Because you can be winning and be miserable, and what good is that? You know, if you're putting all this pressure on yourself, now if you can combine the both having fun and being successful, and people confuse
mm-hmm.
winning with being successful. Two very different things. You can win and not be successful if you're dirty and you cheat and whatever. And
right.
you can lose and be successful because, like you said, you did a great performance, you're proud of yourself, you went out and enjoyed it and had the best time ever, knowing you brought your A game. And being able to admit that maybe, just maybe, there was someone that was a little bit better or brought something additional is so huge to realizing that that's how you enjoy it. That's how you are able to enjoy something and continue
yep.
to build on it. So it's a very valuable tool that you're using. So
mm-hmm.
you said you've been singing in front of people for 3.5 years. Do you
yep.
predominantly do competitions, or do you perform, let's say, professionally, where you actually get paid to perform?
I've never, ever been paid to sing.
Are you serious? Oh, my goodness. People, you're for anybody listening, if you need a singer for a wedding, I'm getting Amy hyped up here.
Yep.
You need a singer for a wedding, any event, hire Amy. She is phenomenal. She will blow you away. I can't imagine why you haven't done that. So you're doing the
competition. In a couple years, we'll have a bit more time. I still, you know, my kids are still pretty young, and I need to keep my weekends and my evenings free for their stuff. And, you know, that's, unfortunately, if you want to sing in a wedding, you know, band, or, you know, in a club, do that kind of stuff, it's all nights and weekends, and I just can't
right.
give that up yet. In a couple of years, it'll be there, and I'll be in perfect form by the time that comes from all this, you know, all this practice. But right now, I do it for fun, and, you know, it's my outlet, it's what I do that is my own thing, and that's it for right now.
So, for now, right. Now, that's a great perspective to have, because some people are like, well, I can't do it and make millions, so I'm not doing it. You know what I mean? It's like, really, people, if you enjoy it and do it. And
right.
One of the things I want to ask you, have you actually recorded any of your songs, like, professionally in a studio?
Nope.
Or do you have videos that people can watch?
I do have some videos of different, you know, shows that I've done up on YouTube. I haven't really kept up with it in the last year or so, which is funny because it's really my best stuff has been within the last year or so. But I just haven't really kept up with it, and but you know, I will update it soon. But I do have a YouTube, you know, page. So if they just go on YouTube and look up my name, they'll find it. It is on there. There's a lot of other videos out there from different stuff that I've done. If you put my name in, they'll also come up from some other productions that I've done. And pretty soon, you know, the Talent Quest TV show is going to be getting, the website is really coming along nicely, where we
mm-hmm.
can now upload our videos right to the website. It's great. It's
mm-hmm.
set up like a social network where you make a profile and you can put your MP3s, you can download your videos, everything right on there. So, you know, we'll be getting that up and running. It is running right now. It's not at full force, but it will be very soon, and it's going to be a great resource for people to get themselves seen, because it will, you know, it can be viewed by anybody. So it'll be a nice
right.
resource that way.
Now, I have to ask you, because that's a great segue. Oh, you guys are going to have to give me a second here. This is awesome. The power went out in my studio.
Ooh.
Thank goodness for backup power. So everything clicked in, but I have to reboot.
It wasn't
the server.
Only you.
Oh, thank goodness Mountain Man does the switchboard, or otherwise we would have been, because this happened to us last year. We were in the middle of a show, and all of a sudden the power went out and the show just went dead, dead. Yeah, in mid-show, and it was like, you got to be kidding me. So we learned our lesson. We rerouted so that Mountain Man goes through. So right now I'm trying to reboot the system so I can get my chat room back up. But on that segue that you were talking about, you've recently become, you were originally a participant with Deborah Crosby's Talent Quest, and now you've taken a more active role. Can you explain to us what that is and what you do with them?
Mm-hmm. I walked away from the competing end of being involved with the show and actually joined the show as a talent scout. For the past couple of years that I've been involved, I've always been sending people like, oh, my God, you have to do this. It was so much fun. And, you know, Deborah said, you're sending us all these great people. It's time for you to start getting credit for it. And you know, you can only compete for so long in the same, you know, in the same venue, and then you say, okay, it's time to give somebody else a chance. I know that I had such a positive experience every time I've done the show that I have referred it to all the other people I've come across. So, you know, now what I do is I go out and I look for people when I'm at other venues, people I've competed with, I've handed them my card, and I say, call me because I'm going to get a TV show. And, you know, and it's really been fun. And then I just promote the show. I, you know, I'm on Facebook and I let everybody know what's going on. And we've gotten so many awesome people that have, you know, have come into the mix. Like, you know, you're going to be a judge this Sunday at the pre-quest the 2010 season. All of the category winners of throughout the year are all going to compete for I'm not sure of the exact number of spots to move on, but I want to say it's going to go from 16 people down to maybe 10 or 8. I can't remember the exact number, but they're going to move on to the finale. So these are all people who won, and it's just going to be a phenomenal show. But we have got so many great, talented people in all different genres of talent coming in. You're going to be blown away far more than you've ever been blown away before this year.
Now you're talking about the show, and the show is, and I want you to explain to the listeners. So Deborah Crosby does a talent quest. How does the show work? Where can they watch it? And can you explain a little bit more about that?
Absolutely. Deborah Crosby's Talent Quest TV show is very similar to, say, how America's Got Talent is done, where you have all different genres of talent. So you could have a ventriloquist, you could have actors, singers, musicians, dancers, you name it, if it's a talent. You know, if somebody could blow me a bubble that was 40 inches big, I'd probably put them on the show. But so not only do they compete against each other, but they also compete within subcategories, which is what's different from America's Got Talent. So, you know, you can be best actor, best singer, best comedian, best Broadway act, best vocalist, and then we have the coveted top entertainer of the evening award. And that is the person that overall has the best act. And then all of those winners, you know, are what is being put into this pool for the finals and the semifinals. You can watch the show on MyTV New England, which is a cable network. It's in about 2.5 million homes throughout New England on Sunday mornings at 11 a.m., which was, for those people who are probably over 30, would remember Community Auditions, which was a very similar show done years ago by Dave Maynard, who is Deborah's dad, and she is carrying on his tradition of honoring all the performing arts. There are so many competitions out there that are just singing, and there's so much more talent out there than just being a singer. So the whole point of the show is to showcase all of it. So,
see, and that's a great thing, because every time you hear of a talent show, it's usually singing and dancing and playing instruments, and that's it. So there's other people that, like you said, have other talents outside that realm that don't get the opportunity to highlight. So that's amazing. Now, you had said that they compete against each other, but there's also subcategories. How
exactly
does that work?
It depends on exactly what talent is booked for the evening. So, I mean, obviously there could be some nights where we just don't have an actor who's on. So we wouldn't have an acting category. They will sit down and they will look at what we have coming in for contestants, determine the subcategory, and then, like I said, top entertainer, which can go to absolutely anybody, whoever, you know, the judges feel really put on the best performance overall. You know, and there's so much that goes into the judging where it's not just do you have the best voice. It's did you sing a song appropriate for your age? You know, there's so many, and I always use this one song as an example because it's a good example. When you see a 14-year-old go up on stage and sing Carrie Underwood's Before He Cheats, it just gets lost. You know, it doesn't matter how good you sing it. It's not appropriate for a 14-year-old to sing. So, you know, that's another thing that comes into, you know, into the mix. Are you dressed like you wanted to be on stage? I've seen some people come up in jeans and you go, you know, you're singing a Broadway song. You should really kind of put a little thought into the whole picture. And that's what's great about it. It's more than just black and white. There's a very big realm of what you're judged on. And it really is in the premise of putting on the best performance possible within each category.
So let's say someone listening to the show right now is interested in participating. What would they have to do?
They can send me an email at amy.moquin@talentquesttvshow.com, and they can include a little bit of information about themselves and what their talent is, and send me a link to a video audition, which can be on YouTube or Facebook, or they can actually find me on Facebook under Amy Moquin. I'm there, and they can send me a link through there, or they can go right to the Talent Quest website, which is talentquesttvshow.com, and create a profile and upload a video and then shoot a quick message over and we'll take a look at the video that way. Or they can come to a live audition. You know, they can contact either Deborah or myself and we can set up a live audition at the studio if they can't do anything online.
So when they want to audition, you're saying that they can actually audition via video instead of having to go somewhere. Or they can have the option of doing it live if that's what they're more comfortable with?
Absolutely. Like, there are many people that are very local to where the studio is, which is in Salem. And if they want to just come in, schedule an audition, just come in. And sometimes we run open auditions, you know, where they can just show up and come in. We'll post times and dates that we're open. We actually have a new live audition in Ipswich, Mass. Coming up. I believe it's in February, and I unfortunately don't have the date right in front of me, but it is on the website when it is, where we're going to go to different towns, and we're going to let people from those towns come right to us and audition in their hometown rather than people having to come into Salem. So,
that's awesome.
Yeah, it's great. It's really great.
Okay, Amy, so now someone auditions, they make it, what happens next?
They will, you know, depending on exactly what venue we're having the production at. You know, we have been at the Hard Rock Cafe for the last season. This year we are at House of Blues for the next few shows. And, you know, they come in, it's great. I'll tell you, to be on a stage like the Hard Rock Cafe was phenomenal for me. And now to be able to go to House of Blues, I think is just so cool. I'm very excited because I do get to perform this Sunday, even though I'm not competing. You know, it's going to be great. They'll come on. They bring their friends. They bring their family to the show. Everyone gets a great experience out of it. So in addition to a live show, it is then put on TV, on my TV, usually done in 4 segments per show. You know, the show will run about 2 hours live, and then it's put into about 4 episodes on the TV. So, you know, if your friends and family can't make it, they still have a chance to see you, you know, and they can watch your performance and then tune in again the next week to watch your competitors. And then the last show in the segment is always the results show. And the other great thing that we do, as you've known in the past, is we always have a performing judge on, somebody within you know, within the Boston area, or, you know, can go outside Boston. It doesn't matter. We don't, you know, just keep it to the local area. But somebody who's in the industry, who is, you know, a great performer with a good following, will come up and they'll mm-hmm. perform also. And we have a great performer coming this Sunday. Matt Schwachman from My Silent Bravery is going to be coming in. He's going to do an acoustic set. So it's going to be great.
Wow.
Not only are you seeing, you know, not only seeing local talent, but you're actually seeing, you know, a seasoned performer, you know, a professional performer. So it's great. It's a great experience. And when you consider, you know, to come into a show like this and pay minimal money for a ticket to get in, and you're going to see unbelievable talent, it's great. And I always have to bring up, you know, the fact we had Jackie Ivanko on the show, and people got to see her for $10, to come in and see a show and see her perform for $10. And now I have no idea what the tickets are going for to see her, but I guarantee you it's a lot more than $10.
It's crazy because when I went, as a matter of fact, that's another person that's going to be on our show, Louis Bello. Oh, my God.
Absolutely.
Love Louis Bello. And I got to see him. He was one of the judges, too, and got mm-hmm. to listen to him sing. Amazing talent. And you're sitting there saying, okay, I just got to see that, like you said, all these phenomenal singers, you know, amateur singers, up-and-comers. And then yep. Louis Bello, love Louis. He's like a little brother to me. And like you were saying, the venues that you guys are using are phenomenal because, again, you're going to a talent competition and then it's a school auditorium. It's in a tiny little rinky-dinky cafeteria. Not to take away from that, but the acoustics are horrible. If you're not 1,000% on, it doesn't sound great. It takes
yep.
away from what the performers are doing. It takes away from the audience being able to enjoy it. And like you said, Hard Rock Cafe, world-renowned, best systems, best acoustics. That's like
that's
a dream venue that for
that
people.
That sound system is awesome in there. I do love that sound system.
I mean, it is. It's like the most phenomenal sound system. And to have these contestants to have the opportunity to do that, House of Blues is another one, world-renowned. Everybody knows about it. They're
yeah.
everywhere, and they take pride. So to have these up-and-coming performers have the opportunity to perform at a world-renowned venue is just an amazing concept, and it just adds to the value that you guys put on your show and what you're doing. I have to ask you, though, people might ask you, why are you doing this? What's the driving force for you personally to promote up-and-coming talent?
You know what? If there were something around like this when I was younger, my life probably would have gone in a very different direction.
Mm-hmm.
I didn't have this kind of thing around. The only thing in New England was community auditions, and God knows, there was no, you didn't even know how to get on it if you wanted to. You know, you didn't have all these talent competitions. You didn't have all these wonderful, you know, venues to go to. It was like you either knew somebody in the industry or you never got into the industry. It was a very, you know, different thing. And I would hate to see a kid who has a talent and has the drive to do it not have a chance. And I just think there are chances out there now, and everybody should be made aware of them. And that's, you know, that's as much as you can do for someone. You can lead the horse to water. You can't make them drink. But if the, you know, if the trough is there, they should be able to come and drink from it. And that's, you know, that's how I look at not just our show, but all, there's a bunch of other great, you know, productions out there and contests and venues that are putting on, giving these kids, not just kids, but adults, giving everyone the opportunity to showcase their talent. You never know what could happen. You know, I always joke and I say, you know what, I'm 40 and I'm not going anywhere. I don't expect to go anywhere. But there are still people that you never know. Somebody could see mm-hmm. you and just say, wow. And then, boom, you know, next thing you know, your life has changed. So it's just, you know, I want to help somebody else get that chance if I can. If I can't, I can't. I can't make miracles happen, but you know what? Give everyone the chance that they could possibly get.
You know, and that's such a passionate thing to say because I feel the same way. I know for me, the neighborhood I grew up in, the way I grew up, again, it was very limited, like the auditions and the things you could do. if you wanted to act, you had to have money to take the dance lessons, the singing lessons, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera. And if you didn't have that, pretty much you were on your own. You know, you had the annual school talent show, and that was basically it. And there wasn't really a lot for us to do. So for you to be that passionate about it, to realize that not only are you helping people maybe get a chance to further their career, but if not, to at least be able to explore their talent, to enjoy it,
absolutely,
and to be able to do what they love to do. And that's such
a huge
thing.
You know, like, I've met people who, you know, I'll come across and they'll be, oh, my God, your voice is unreal. You should come on the show. And they go, I don't want to be a famous person. And I'm like, it's not about that. You could come to me and tell me I have absolutely no aspirations of doing this any further than having fun with it, and I would say, I want you on the show. If you have talent, I want you on the show. It doesn't have to be. It's not just for everyone who wants to make it big. Or, you know, come on and share what you have with other people. Because even if one person out there in TV land is touched by what you do,
mm-hmm,
then you've done something phenomenal. I'm going to bring up a really funny story. But I sang a song in a show a few years ago, Mary, Did You Know? I'm not sure if you're familiar with the song. It's a beautiful,
mm-hmm,
beautiful song. And I actually got a stalker because I sang this song. I had this old woman calling my house. She looked at my phone number and called my house for months because she wanted me to sing this song to her over the phone because she became obsessed with it when she heard it. And I actually
had to block
her number. It's really, really, it's a funny story. I mean, but I got a little freaked out by it, like, after the fourth time she called and left a half-hour message on my machine. And my husband's going, who is this chick? Why does she keep calling? We had to actually have somebody contact her and say, please stop calling Amy. And I did. I had to block her phone number because it was really freaking
me out. Oh, my goodness.
But at the same time, I look at it and I'm like, if I touched somebody in a way like that just by singing a song, then you know what? It makes you feel pretty good. And you know, that's what it's about. Like I said, it's not about necessarily the, you know, it's great exposure to be on a show that's on TV, or just to be on a show that's on an audience that has hundreds and hundreds of people there. You know, it's a great thing. But it doesn't all have to be about that. It's about doing something you enjoy doing, getting out there and sharing your talent with people.
That is so true, because the reality is that, again, and this is something that I try to emphasize to anybody in anything that they do, that if you enjoy what you're doing and you love it and you're passionate about it, that's 99% of the battle right there. I know a lot of people, when they think about the entertainment industry, it's about the platinum records and the multi-million dollar contracts and, you know, the traveling. It's not about that. There's people out there that sing for a living their whole lives, or just sing because they love it and enjoy it and they're passionate about it. And that's the difference, because we know a lot of very unhappy, the very rich singers, Britney Spears in case, who has world power. I mean, she's world renowned. She's got all this money and stuff, but she's not happy. Yet, you know, you have someone like yourself who loves it and walks away with a great feeling and recharge and stuff. So it's very important for us to remember that when we're doing what we love, we are doing it because it's what we love.
But, I mean, think of how many artists there are, like just people who paint or draw. They don't paint every day because they think they're going to sell a piece and become Van Gogh. They do it because it's what's in their soul. It's what they love to do, and they need to do it to express themselves. But they don't go out and put all their artwork and everything that they've done in an art show because they think that, you know, it doesn't always have to be that aspiration of becoming famous. It's, you know, I just wish people would do things more just simply for the enjoyment of them, rather than trying to get something out of it. Because what I get out of it is the enjoyment, you know?
You know, it's so true, because I get that a lot with people, because I do act, you know, on the side. That's what I love to do. That's my passion. And I've only been doing it, it's funny, almost the same time as you, like 3 years. And people are like, yeah, but you're just in the background, and no one sees you, and your name's not in the credits. And they're missing the point. You know what I mean? To me, being like behind the scenes and on set, and you know, the whole that's what it's about for me. I love it. There's just a certain energy on set that, okay, if I have to pause my VCR for you to see a fuzzy picture of me because you want to see me,
yep.
I don't care. It's about what happened before the little fuzzy split second
yep.
thing that shows up. And you're right. People forget that. They're like, why are you doing that? You're not making any money. You're not famous. You really think
yep.
someone of your age could ever be? Really? Is that all you think about? I mean, I don't say, well, you go out and play softball on the weekend. You shouldn't do that because you're never going to make the U.S.
You're not gonna
team.
Exactly,
or,
exactly. And
yeah.
that's the thing. Everyone thinks that if it's the entertainment industry, that it needs to be like some big thing. That I'll be honest with you, my son got a part in this movie that was filmed in our town. And it was
mm-hmm.
this really freak thing that he got involved in it. He's in like a 3-minute scene. He's got lines and everything. And it was
mm-hmm.
so cool for him to do it. And we went to a screening of the movie this past weekend, and it was great. He has absolutely no aspirations to become an actor. It
right.
was just something fun, and everyone's going. And I helped promote it, and I helped promote the event of the screening, but everyone's going, did he get paid for it? Is he going to get paid if the movie gets picked up? And I'm like, really, that's not why he did it. He did it because it was cool.
Mm-hmm.
It was fun. He had nothing to do that day. He was asked to do it. Him and his friends did it. And it was just something fun. And he'll forever have that. And we're hoping the movie gets picked up, but you never know what's going to happen. You know, but it wasn't because, oh, I might get discovered. It was just because, hey, do you want to do this? And he's like, yeah, sure. You know, him and his friends, they thought it was great. It was fun for him, and that's it. And he'll forever have that. And I already told him. I said, you ever want to do anything again, let me know. I'll look around.
Yeah, it's very true. It's very true. Yeah, it's funny because for me, too, one of the things is that when I'm no longer passionate or excited about acting, I will definitely stop. Because for me, I turn into, like, literally like a wide-eyed little kid on set. And for those of you that know, The Fighter was filmed in Lowell last
yeah.
year, and well, a year and a half ago. And there was a couple of scenes in the movie that were filmed, literally I could throw a rock to the house where they filmed it from where I live. And it was so exciting to literally live on set because I literally had to let the security guy they had watching the equipment. He's like, where are you going? I'm like, I'm going home. He's like, no, you're not. Because I'm sure everybody was telling him that. I had to literally show him my ID. I live
yeah,
there.
Yeah, everyone's trying
and
to just get on set. And they're like, I live right there. Yeah,
I do. I'm
you
right there.
Have
and it was
kids,
so
right?
cool
I could have
to
pretended
see.
It was one of your kids.
Yeah, exactly. I mean, and it was just, to me, it was so exciting to see that, to you know, to see all the extras getting out. Because the van was funny. The van letting off the extras was right in front of my house. See them go out. And then the ironic thing was that I actually got called to work a day on the set of The Fighter, but they didn't call me when it was outside my house. They called me when it was all the way in Arlington, which I thought was
well,
so funny. Yeah.
You didn't expect it to be convenient, right?
Yeah. And it was so funny because, you know, people see the movie and all that, but for me, I remember the first day they were actually here because they set up at night, and in the morning, this is a funny story. I'm half asleep. It's like 6:30 in the morning, and all of a sudden I hear these two guys yelling. And it was really weird because I'm like, that sounds like Dickie Eklund. I'm like, who the hell is he yelling at this early in the morning? But then it stopped, and then I'm like, wait, that sounds like Christian Bale. What kind of dream am I having? Because
see,
there
I
was summertime.
I went open my window, yelled some expletives. Be quiet, I'm trying to sleep.
Well, it was hysterical because it was summertime, so the windows were open, and I'm hearing this, and I open the curtain, and I'm like, holy moly. Literally, I could see Christian Bale and Mark Wahlberg. They were doing some scene, and I was like, wow. And I was so excited about the whole, you know, having the auditions here, seeing that. So you do. Just be passionate about what you do, and I'm telling you, it's just a great thing to do. Oh, man, Amy,
doesn't
I
matter
cannot...
what you do. You know,
no,
I always
it
tell
doesn't
myself, I don't care if you like sports, if you like dance, if you like art. I don't care if you want to, you know, make sandcastles for a living. If you love it, do
mm-hmm.
it. And that's kind of, you know, that's another reason why I do what I do. My even though my son doesn't care two hoots about my singing, he
mm-hmm.
does understand that I do it because I love to do it. Therefore, if there's something he wants to do, regardless of whether or not everybody else likes it,
do.
Uh-huh.
You know, and it's important. Like my, and then there's my daughter. You've met my daughter before, my little side chick who loves with me. You know, she loves loves to sing. She loves to dance. You know, she thinks she is the next, you know, big thing that's going to be discovered, but that's, you know, in her head. But she loves
that's
it.
Awesome.
She sits there and sings. I mean, she will put the she will stand on the coffee table in front of all my daycare kids and put on a show. And that's her thing because she's comfortable doing it. And she's comfortable doing it because she sees me do it. So, you know, I just took out of her the one thing that kept me from doing it for so long. And that was not having confidence to get up in front of people. So, you know,
I accomplished
something, you know, with her seeing me do it. That, and like I said, I have fun doing it, so.
Amy, I have to put you on the spot because I have a request from the chat room.
Okay.
They want to know if you can bust out something a cappella because they're dying to hear what you sound like.
Really?
Yes.
All right, I'll give you a little taste of what I'm going to do on Sunday.
Awesome.
Now you say you're lonely, you cry the long night through. Well, you can cry me a river, cry me a river, 'cause I've cried a river over you. Good enough?
Wow. Can this woman, does she have pipes or what? Wow, Amy, amazing. Now we put her on the spot. She's on the phone and she can still blow our socks off. Oh, my goodness, Amy, that was awesome. Amy, I can't believe the time flew by so fast. Oh,
I know.
I say this about every guest, but that's amazing. Amy, do you have anyone you'd like to say hi to, shout outs, anybody out there?
You know, I have no idea who's listening for me, but, you know, all I can say is, you know, thanks for listening in, and please, you know, join Deborah Crosby's Talent Quest TV show website, put up a profile, even if you're not a performer, get a profile up there and start enjoying what's up there for videos, and support the people who, you know, are looking to be supported.
Now, what's the website, the www what?
This is www.talentquesttvshow.com.
Talentquesttvshow.com. Awesome. I will put that up there. So if you guys are interested, go to talentquesttvshow.com. And you have been listening to the amazing Amy Moquin, who we're absolutely going to have back. Amy, thank you so much for finally being on the show. I'm so excited. And I will get to see
you too.
On
And I cannot wait to see you on Sunday again.
I know. I'm so excited. So, Amy, thank you so much. Have a great night, and we'll definitely be listening from you later.
And I'll be listening for the rest of the night.
Awesome. Thanks, Amy.
Okay. All right. Good night.
Thanks, Amy.
Good night.
Good night.
Now, didn't I tell you that girl can sing?
Wow. That girl can sing.
She has such
an
amazing voice.
That is absolutely amazing.
And that's with you listening to her on our show. If you see her live, like with the swagger, and, I mean, she's beautiful. She's got the most amazing face. She just has the whole package deal, and I love her. I mean, she's definitely going to go places, you know, when she's done with raising kitties and all that cool stuff. I think we have a call.
I tried to go and screen the call.
Okay, you screen. I'm going to actually play a song while you do that. I want to play a song, people. For everybody that just joined us, welcome, welcome, welcome. This is the Diamond in the Rough show. Well, we got all these amazing people in the chat room. Andy, my buddy. We got BA3D. Yes, Be Bad to the Bone. Betty, hey, Betty. Billy, Bill, Brenda. Guest 4315. Guest 4460. Heidi, hey, Heidi. Infamous Angel. Mark, my man, I love you. Welcome, welcome. Ma Mem Fesh, I think. And Starlight, welcome, guys. I'm so glad you're all here. We're getting ready for the second hour of our show. We're going to have the amazing Ahura Z back in the building. Ahura is actually, he is a metaphysicist, psychic, healer, etc., teacher, dancer, singer. actor, producer, director, amazing, amazing, all kinds of stuff. But in the meantime, I want to play a song. This is the new song we introduced last week from Sacrifice Situ and the amazing Miss Jenna Donovan called Change, which I think very appropriate for January because it's a brand new year. We're all here trying to go out there and change our lives, create new goals. You're back. I thought you muted yourself.
I did mute myself. I did try to talk to the caller, but they were not coming back to me. And pose a question in our chat room when I thought you might have seen it.
Yes, the question. Remember the contest going on, Mountain Man's favorite TV show. If you have a guest, throw them all in there in the chat room. We've got everything going from Dragnet to, I forgot about the Mario Brothers game, TV show. To the Mario.
Wow.
I forgot about that. Oh, my goodness. All right, sidetrack. Here we go. Change. Let's play our song. So this is Change by Sacrifice Situ and Jenna Donovan for your pleasure.
You got it over there?
I thought I did. Technical difficulties.
Trying to do the best I could, doing all the things that they say I should. But I'm in the same old place, looking for a new life, searching for a change.
Yeah.
Don't look down, gotta keep my head up.
Let's go.
I
never liked, so I quickly made it, exit my best as I'm changing flight. I made it bright, my sights an amazing light. So I try to be my finest, my highest, I made it right. I made changes, a stranger to giving life. But a wife and some children can build it and make it right. I'm making nice, two lives, I'm living twice. Once was long ago, the other is really nice. I'm searching for a new life, searching for a change. Working like a servant for these merchants for a change. Searching for a purpose for my service in the game. Now I circuit for my purpose, never nervous when I blaze. I get it working, put my word in for my pain. My verbiage keep me surging when I turn it into gain. I'm never turning, only learning when I aim. So I serve it with a purpose, Mr. Perfect, make it rain.
Trying to do the best I could, doing all the things that they say I should. But I'm in the same old place, looking for a new life, searching for a change.
Game walked away cause I maxed out. Went to college road, met some James and blew they back out. School didn't help, I stayed the same, I had to lash out. Teachers telling me, keep it moving, dog, this ain't for you. My fam waiting to see if the things I say come true. But truth for me in my heart, your boy just stayed confused. So Brady dropped the beat, now everybody changed their view. But there's no room on this bandwagon, your man's jamming. Less than a quarter mil, I can't have it, I can't stand it. Stay away, I can't manage. This shit bleeds through my veins like guitars from Van Halen. I can't relax, I'm about to put mass back on the map. If you ask some gas, these new rappers is trash. And I ain't saying I'm the best to do it, I'm just saying that my heart's invested in this music.
Trying to do the best I could, doing all the things that they say I should. But I'm in the same old place, looking for a new life, searching for a change.
Top, made it through the pain. Angels with the halos never waver when I strain. I was trained to never fall, to always braver on the range. Overcoming obstacles, hurdling the next. Change of life a crime, using words to be the best. Burning by my courage in the verses that I bless. So it's still a life of crime because I'm murdering this text. Always keep my head up, never looking to the ground. Always looking for a new look, always booking to the sound. Music made me do it, always push it to the clouds. Or the ground that kept me grounded when I pounded on the ground. Leave a vision you never saw. Where a life that you live in is bigger and never flawed. The big picture depicted and made us hard. So Jenna, bring us heaven when you singing for the stars.
Trying to do the best I could, doing all the things that they say I should. But I'm in the same old place, looking for a new life, searching for a change. Don't look down, gotta keep my head up. Life's too short,
looking for a new life, searching for a change. Oh, 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 oh. Down, gotta keep my head up. Oh, 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 oh. Life's too short, it can only get better.
Oh, we're back. I was
Wow, that was an amazing song.
I love that song. I want to play one more song, though, before I bring our guest back on. Our guest on, because I love this song. And Andy actually likes this one, so I'm going to play this one for Andy. This is a battle song by the Pisces Project, and I just love this song because I swear every time I play it, I just want to go do something, you know? So listeners, I do. I want to go, like, conquer some unknown land or something.
This
I don't know.
A great
Can we
song.
Do that? Can we conquer lands? No. They're looking at me like, no, you can't do that. No, you'll get arrested. But I want to. At least I can go conquer my backyard from all this snow. Go plant the flag there. All right, people. On that note, I'm going to play the song. It's called The Battle Song by Pisces Project. Just like wanted to tie a cape on and run around the room like a superhero. Oh, I absolutely love that song. It's so amazing. And what people don't realize is that Uhura actually wrote it, produced it, did the music for it, like literally did the music for it, wrote the music, performed the music.
And we're
going to
bring him right on in.
Edit it, everything, everything. It's like the Uhura show. Welcome, everyone. Oh, my goodness. Uhura, are you in the building?
I am indeed. How are you?
I am awesome. Mrs. Z is in the building. Real quick, wow, we've got a full chat room. We've got Andy and Betty. I feel like the lady from Romper Room every time I do this. Yo, Brenda. I do. I got the mirror. Instead of the mirror, I have my computer screen. I have guest 4315, guest 4460, guest 4566, guest 4704, guest 4715, guest 4721. We've got Heidi, Infamous Angel, Mark, and yes, we've got a full house in there, and of course, our ton of listeners across the world welcoming the amazing Uhura Z. I am so excited to have you back, and I swear to goodness, I have not had this many emails about a guest today.
Well, that's pretty cool. That's really cool. But
wicked cool.
Yeah, I think you're pretty cool, so I don't see how you haven't had that many emails.
No, she's an awesome host.
Yeah, thank you guys. Thank you very much. But it was more like, but is Uhura going to come back? Yeah, but is Uhura going to be back? So we have Uhura back.
That's funny.
Is this Uhura guy coming back? Yes, he's here. The incredible, famous Uhura Z. Uhura, I have to tell you, last week we didn't even touch, spec of your talent. I know we talked a little bit about your school of physics. We had people calling in asking you questions. I wanted to touch on an area that it's funny because the subject has come up recently for me. You talked about the fact that because you're an empath, and you can explain a little bit about that, you don't have to have the people physically in the room. But one of the other things you do, you also are a healer, you mentioned.
That's correct.
Okay, can you explain a little bit about what that is, how does it work, and a little bit more for our listeners?
Well, I do understand that many people don't understand what a healer is. A healer is merely someone that removes those obstacles that are stopping you from healing yourself. Okay? The human body is a wonderful biomechanical unit. It is made to fix itself. What happens is there's another element, which is our head, that gets in the way, and what we've heard, and things that we have accepted into our consciousness and into our energy. As a healer, I remove those things. And all I really do is, I guess you can use the word channel, although I really don't like using it. I'm merely the vessel for energy that will assist you in healing yourself and accelerating your healing process. There's nothing that cannot be healed. Now, that being said, I realize that a lot of people will say, well, why don't you heal cancer? Why don't you do this? Why don't you do that? I do my best with whatever, and I really don't think about the politics of things. If a person comes to me and I have the capability and the power to help them, I do, period.
Right.
Now, if it is a person's time to do something, to leave or to experience something, even I can't stand in the way of that, and there's no healer on earth that can. However, I see the impossible happen every single day, and I don't have to touch a person. I don't have to be in the same place as a person. All I have to do is get them to realize that there is energy available to them to heal themselves. And if they need a boost, that's where I come in.
So you're saying you're explaining how the body is this amazing tool that can, basically heal itself with energy and stuff. Can you explain a little bit more about how you do that as far as, because you're talking that basically the person can heal themselves. So explain a little bit more about that.
Certainly. The body has 7 major energy centers. Now, a lot of people know those as chakras. I just call them circuits. They're like batteries that power every center of your body. Those batteries enable you to walk, talk, experience, and do a whole lot of things. When a person becomes sick, I can usually look at one of those circuits and find out where the malady is. Okay? For instance, there's a heart circuit. If a person is experiencing things such as bronchitis, asthma, other problems in that particular region, it's usually because that circuit is malfunctioning. All we have to do is get it functioning again. In order for us to do that, we've got to find out where it started, why it started, and how can we get that circuit to work properly. Now, there are a lot of different methods of healing. Some people use polarity. Some people use Reiki. I do something different. I know that divinity exists. And by divinity, you can call it faith healing if you want to. Faith is for people who do not know. I happen to know that divinity exists and is capable of healing anything. All I do is channel my energy to fix that particular portion of the body and get the person to reinforce it with their own energy and their own minds. Now, let's take something that has to do with people that have arthritis. Arthritis is a concentration of calcium and other things that stop the joints from moving correctly. Okay, and there could be other things. Sometimes the joints will rub together. Or sometimes there'll just be so much deposit that it misshapes the hands or the knees or whatever. To help that, we can try an herbal solution. There are different teas. There are different remedies. We can also use a program to the person, which I call vibrational frequency. You see, every person has a vibration. Every person's name has a vibration. If we can find that vibration and change it into sound, put it into a sound that can multiply itself, we can pretty much kick out the malady. Now, you're asking me to, in just a short time, tell you the whole process of healing. I'm doing the best I can. If you come to me, if you come to me and you're not feeling well, there's always a reason. We find the reason out and just eliminate it. Okay? If a person has a flu, there are remedies for that. You know, a good cup of chicken soup and some positive thought always works, you know, to at least make you feel better. If you're talking about something that has plagued you for a long time, for instance, when I was younger, I lost my eardrum in my left ear. The doctors told me I'd never hear correctly again, and I might suffer some balance malfunctions. I didn't believe that. I don't buy that. Okay? As you see, I compose and write and sing. In order for me to do that, I have to be able to hear. You know, I teach Tai Chi, several forms of martial arts. I've been a martial arts competitor. I've competed in many other things. They were wrong about the balance. That's basically because I refuse to believe that particular program. Well, if you can get a person to accept a program that is going to be healing, they will heal, bottom line. I myself personally have seen someone who suffered quadriplegia get better. And that's the truth. I personally saw it myself. My teacher was very, very good.
So I have a question. When you're talking about energy healing, how much of the person's attitude, their positive energy, or whatever you want to call it, how much of that plays into their ability to get well?
About 40%. Remember, the person doesn't have to believe in anything. Belief is one of those things that's linked with disbelief. I don't depend on that, but that person at least has to be willing to cooperate. Do you understand? I mean, the person has to, if I tell the person, please sit down, they have to be willing to just sit down.
Right.
If I say, look, at least just be open. I mean, we're not going to say whether or not you need faith or anything like that. Just let me do what I do. You've tried everything else. Give me my hand. And if that person is willing to do that, then I can do my job. There are always results. The results may not be, I doubt seriously that I would be as good as someone like Jesus. I mean, I can try. I'll do my best. You know, I'm not going to spit into the dirt and make a poultice and put it on someone's eyes who's blind. But I might do other things. I will do my best.
I have a question when it pertains to that. I know that a lot of people think of illnesses as, okay, cancer's cancer and, you know, germs in the air and, you know, that. How much of that do you, because I see this great increase in illnesses that continues to rise, and it boggles my mind with the millions of dollars going into traditional medicine research and all that. There's still these huge numbers of cancers. There's all these other diseases that aren't even you know, being made a blip on the radar as far as curing them. And people never think about this fact. How much of disease as we know it is a direct result of stress or negativity or other outside factors that we wouldn't think of as responsible for illnesses?
That's a lot. If you want to put it into a percentage, I would say a good maybe 70%. I mean, a good 70% of things. You have to remember, conventional medicine and conventional science can only do so much. I mean, as far as they're concerned, if you have something that's wrong, you cut it off or medicate it, you know, or let's just hope for the best. You know, when it comes to things of a spiritual nature or things of a holistic approach or even things of a herbal approach, the spectrum is much, much wider. You know, it's way wider. I mean, you're at least depending on that person to be willing to give something unconventional a shot. The problem with that is that conventional medicine somehow has determined that, well, if it's not done by us, then it can't be real. But you have to think about how much of conventional medicine is done to actually hurt people.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, the first thing they tell you is, you know, you got 2 months to live. In my opinion, that should be against the law. The moment that you break a person's spirit, you have defeated them. I mean, you can't do that to a person. As far as I'm concerned, the moment that you tell someone you've got 2 months to live, you have taken all hope from that person. You're in a position of authority. A doctor should never be allowed to say something like that. A doctor should at least say to that person, we're going to do the best that we can.
Mm-hmm. You know, that is so true because that is so true. And one of the things that the reason why I'm so passionate about talking to you about this particular aspect right now is because we, specifically in the United States, we for some reason have this hero worship, deity way of looking at doctors, and forgetting about the fact that traditional medicine as we know it is less than 200 years old
theory. Oh,
you know, the so-called pill and the, you know, and the anesthesia and penicillin, these are all fairly new in the pill form, but it's the medicines that are healing and useful have been around for thousands and thousands of years in holistic approaches and natural forms. Why do you think we as a society are so willing to, okay, let me take a chemical and put it in my body to quote-unquote heal me, but if someone says, go see an acupuncturist or go see a faith healer or you know, take a tea, they're like, oh, no. Why do you think that is?
Well, because there's a very small group of people that have all of the control. In other words, you know, if you have money, you have a lot of power, you have a lot of control. And unfortunately, those of us that are willing to just help out of the goodness of our heart, we may be many, but we have nothing. So people tend to say things like, well, you know, if you're so powerful, how come you're not rich? Or, you know, or, okay, that worked for these people, but it didn't work for this person. Or it comes down to whoever talks the loudest. Unfortunately, when it comes to conventionality, no one ever informed this small group of people that's controlling everything that just because you speak the loudest doesn't make you right. And now, those of us that truthfully want to help, we really just don't want the trouble. So what we do is we say, look, I can do what I can do. Mm-hmm. And people who have we have just as much credibility as any conventionalist. The problem is we didn't get a little piece of paper from a university that said, okay, I wasn't able to function on my own, so I had my mom or my dad pay for me to get an education so that I could lord this over you and say, look, I have a certificate that says that I can do this really well even though I suck.
Right.
You don't have a certificate, but you did it better. That's not right. You know, so it comes down to just control and regulation. You have to remember that when it comes to healing people, you heal the person. If a person is hungry, you feed them.
Right.
And, you know, there's those that make up these clever quotations that say, you know, well, you can feed the person or you can teach them to fish. The way that I think about it, they can't fish if they're hungry. So you need to feed them first. You know, then you can teach them how to fish.
You know, it's true, and that's one of the reasons that it boggles my mind that, like, I mean, I have a perfect example. I went to see an acupuncturist, and this woman listened to me, like, sat me down and said, what exactly is the problem? What hurts? Where? How? 10 minutes. Asking me questions, writing things down on this chart so that she would know what to work on. And at that point, you know, the biggest issue I had was migraines, horrific migraines. And the prescription medicine that I was, quote-unquote, given by traditional doctors was making me sick. I couldn't function. I couldn't think. I couldn't drive because it's illegal to drive on this medication. So my quality of life is going out the window. So it's either I have headaches or I'm drunk. I'm high all the time on this medication. And it blew my mind that here's this woman, 10 minutes of her time to ask me all these questions, 20 minutes of treatment, and then afterwards, after she did the acupuncture, her husband comes and does the acupressure treatment, which is the massage with the points.
Right.
Didn't get a migraine for 6 months after that. I went to a traditional doctor, I think he let me talk for 30 seconds and quickly said, this is what you need. And prescribed this medication to me that was more harmful than good. Yet we, as a society in this country, continue to do this over and over again, and I just don't understand why we do that. Now,
money.
I want to ask
money and control.
You, and I'm asking you a question because you said that people that do what you do just don't want the trouble sometimes because it's too, what are some of the resistance that you see? What are some of the challenges that when you're trying to do what you do, you come across?
That I'm using bad magic. You can't really do a massage on someone without a license, which I agree with to a degree. I can agree with that. I understand that.
Mm-hmm.
But see, what I do is not massage. I remember they'll say, well, why don't you go here to learn how to do it? Why should I learn how to do it when I already know?
Exactly.
I mean, it's like it's bad magic. It's got to be evil. It's not good. You know, I think that, you know, that might be a cult because they made you feel better instantaneously or they made you stop, you know.
Oh, please,
if
it's a cult, sign me up. Oh, man.
I mean, it might be a bad thing because I stopped a person from smoking marijuana, you know, or they no longer have the urge to drink or their lives are getting better. They have a clear and wonderful way of thinking, or that thing that has hurt them for years and years and years that this doctor said, well, you know, you got to take these pills 4 times a day. What you have here is fibromyalgia. Listen, the technical term for fibromyalgia is, listen, fibro, which is muscle, myo, which is pain. Okay? And that's all it is. Listen, you can cure
I personally interpret it as, have no clue, leave me alone, here's a pill. That's what I interpreted. That's
pretty
what
much.
Fibromyalgia,
you know,
means to me.
I learned from the person who used to be the head of the Atomic Energy Commission. His name was Lawrence McGallagher, real great guy, just a genius.
Mm-hmm.
I told him, I said, look, I'm sorry, you know, you're really intelligent. And I appreciate speaking to you, but I don't like scientists. And he says... He says, no, that's not true. I don't believe you. That's true. He says, I believe that you like pure science.
Mm-hmm.
Medical science and the science that is going on today is not about pure science. It's about making money. Okay?
Mm-hmm.
So it has nothing to do with the person. It has nothing to do with the person feeling better. Listen, if you come into my place and I help you out and you feel better, you're not going to go back there. That means that they will lose money.
Mm-hmm.
Okay?
Right.
They will lose money and then do everything possible to discredit me in some way, shape, or form. Well, I have a degree in Harvard. Do you know what the average grade point average in Harvard is? Maybe, what, 2.5? Something? I mean, who cares? The point is that someone established those schools just to have control. People have been healing each other for centuries upon century upon century and had nothing to do with Harvard or Yale. Okay.
You know, that is so true, because I remember as a little kid, I'm a chronic stomach painer, as I used to tell my mom, my tummy hurts kind of thing, and I did. It's like I would look at food and my belly would hurt. I remember my mom going out to her little herb garden, and she would grab this nasty lemongrass, boil it with honey, and it didn't taste nasty once, you know, the honey and stuff was in it. And literally, oh, and she would throw some chamomile in there, and literally within 15 minutes of drinking it, I felt phenomenal. And to this day, with as much stuff as they sell over-the-counter prescription, I have not been able to find anything to alleviate the pain like my mom's old remedy. And
exactly.
I sit there, and it just blows my mind. It, I mean, and I feel bad because I, as a younger person, didn't take the time to learn what she had learned from her grandmother. And obviously it's lost because she's passed since. So I never really learned any of that. And you're right when people look at it like, oh, that's evil. My mother is growing weeds in her garden. It's an herb, not marijuana. It's freaking herbs. You know what I mean? And you don't think basil's evil. We don't think, you know, cilantro's evil.
Exactly.
Yet when you think of it in another way, oh, it's evil because you're going to drink it in
its
tea.
But it's always a small minority of people that think that way that happen to be yelling the loudest, you know?
Yeah.
And they yell so loud, yell so, that you can't get a word edgewise. You say, look, you know, my foot hurts every time I do this. The most simple solution is not to do that, right?
Mm-hmm.
Okay?
Right.
Instead, no, I want to be able to do that because I want to be able to slam my foot down on a nail and it shouldn't hurt. No. There's a common sense thing here. Okay? What you do is you just stop stepping on the nail and stop going to those places that you know is going to hurt you. Okay?
Right.
If you know that drinking is going to hurt you, the thing to do is to get you off of the alcohol, point blank, not give you something else to replace it with. That's not working.
Mm-hmm.
That's merely giving you another a dependency. You don't need the dependency. We've got to find out what it is that causes you to want to fill the hole in you with alcohol, not just a behavioral modification. I'm not going to call you an alcoholic the rest of your life when you haven't drank for 6 years. I'm not going to look at you and say, you know, you're always going to be an alcoholic. That's wrong. If you stop drinking, guess what? You are no longer an alcoholic. It is your discipline and your will to stay clean and sober. That comes down to not just a behavioral modification, but something that has to happen on the inside. As a healer, what we do is we turn those people to that which is on the inside of themselves. Okay? We are so quick to call things a disease and then conquer ourselves by saying, well, you know, I have this disease. I have this or I have that. You know, I have fibromyalgia or, you know, I have endometriosis. Listen, a woman's endocrine can go up and down in a heartbeat. I mean, listen, women are so amazing that their physical stature stays unstable. The reason for that is so that they can have children.
Mm-hmm.
So you can't just say that all women have the exact same system. So let's put little pink ribbons on everything and say that, you know, all women are in danger of breast cancer. That's not the truth. That is the biggest lie that has been perpetrated in, 50 years? Okay?
Yes.
And what you do is you cause all of these women to go around having this major fear of two things, okay? Breast cancer, cervical cancer.
Right.
Now, what they've done is they've linked that fear into something else. One of the most insidious things that I've had to go through with a person was fibroid tumors in the uterus. It was insidious, okay? However, what they've done is they've linked that particular word fibroid, which is like terror for all women, to something that is simply a muscle pain, fibromyalgia.
Right.
So what they do is they tell all of these women to be absolutely afraid, be afraid, be afraid, be afraid. Do you know what fear does? It multiplies any malady that you have, anything. It will multiply it instantaneously. It will freeze your mind. It will stop you from doing anything other than what you are told what works by someone who is perceived to have more power than you.
You know, that is so true. And real quick, for anybody, our listeners, if you want to call in, have any questions for Ahura Z, the number is 1-347-989-1473. Toll-free number is 1-877-907-7217 if you have any questions for our guest, Ahura Z. Ahura, I have a question in the chat room.
And we also have a caller that does want to ask a question to Ahura.
Awesome.
Okay.
So let's go with the caller first, and then we'll go to the question in the chat room.
Sure.
Hello. You're on the show with Ahura Z and Mountain Man and Ordinary Woman.
Hey, how you guys doing?
Hi, how are you?
Hi.
Good, how are you?
Good.
Good.
You have a question for Ahura?
Yeah, I see Shirley, you know, a little bit. I don't know if you can recognize my voice, but
yeah.
Oh, a quick question for you is, my mom died about 10, 11 years ago, and my question is it okay when you're trying to feel, when you hang around your friend's house or whatnot, to consider your friend's parents to be in a way like your parents in a way? Do you know what I mean?
I'm sorry, would you repeat the question, please?
All right. A lot of my friends that I've been out with, okay, their parents are like my parents to me.
Okay.
So is it in a way for you, do you think, as a healer of a loved one dying, even though it's been about 10 or 11 years, is it normal to say that your friend's parents are like your parents in a way?
That is normal. Listen,
right.
Sometimes, and this used to happen tribally, remember that we are one village. The United States of America is one village, no matter what anyone says.
Right.
If you feel the same energy coming from another person's mother or father or parent, then by all means, you can treat them like that. And hopefully they respond in kind. Remember that we like to say things such as, it takes a village to raise a child, but the village has to cooperate. And if you found someone who is willing to cooperate and be that parental figure to you, then by all means, accept their love. It's absolutely
okay. I want to make sure because I thought that was weird. I do it and my friends don't think that's normal. So I just want to make sure I'm on the same page as you.
It's okay. It's okay. Your friends may not understand it. But remember, we also live in a country that is lately, over the last couple of decades, become very possessive. So if it helps you, then please. If they're your real friends, if they really are your friends, they're willing to allow that to happen.
All right, I just want to make sure. Thank you.
You're very welcome.
Yeah, go ahead.
I know you had an additional question about someone that has passed. You told me you had questions about your mom.
Yeah, when I was growing up. I'm sorry?
You want to know what about your mother?
And like growing up, it's like I just don't really remember her that much. And like one of the things that my family says, look at pictures and stuff like that. My question is, how can I really use pictures? Like I have like maybe two or three on my laptop and two or three on my wall.
How can I put
that into memory if I don't really remember my mom? You know what I mean? I haven't seen my mom since I was about four, and that was about 19 years ago, roughly.
You still remember her, though, right? Okay, listen. If you're feeling your mother, you're feeling like you want to be able to at least know that you have your mom, you're very, very fortunate. You're very fortunate. You can use that to push you on and to grow and mature. Listen, I personally have never met my biological father. However, I do know that person exists. And since I know that person exists, I do the best that I possibly can to be an example not only to that person, but to be an example to everyone. And you can do the same thing. If you have pictures of your mom, consider yourself very, very fortunate. You may not remember her, but I guarantee you wherever she is, she remembers you.
All right, thank you.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, awesome. Good night, Mark. Thanks for calling.
Thanks, Mark.
Thank you. Bye-bye.
And I have a question. tonight, guys. I have a question in the chat room. Someone was asking what a suggestion is for adult ADD.
Adult ADD? They've got to focus on something and find out what they really do want. Now, look, adult, what they call adult ADD may be that person's versatility. In other words, they may be able to do more than just one or two things. You know, everyone believes that you have to be able to do just one thing, but the truth is you can do many things and give each one of those things just as much attention. Mm-hmm. But you've got to find out what it is that you really want to do. And then that, what they call adult ADD, will be more than anything a myth. There's been a lot of children and a lot of people that have been diagnosed with ADD, adult ADD, and I'm sure there's some animals that have animal ADD. The truth is they label that particular thing when they don't understand versatility in a person's mind.
Uh-huh.
Okay? For instance, years and years and years and years ago, had we had the type of medical science that we have now, a person like myself would have been diagnosed with ADD. And why? Because they can do many things at the same time.
Mm-hmm.
And they call that a lack of focus. But I'm sure you can attest, Charlie, I'm incredibly focused. When I set my sights on something, I will get it done. One of the best things that you can do is take up something that is going to give you some discipline. I suggest a martial art, something simple. Shotokan, basic Shotokan to begin, but you have to temper it with something that is going to fuel your energy, such as Tai Chi.
Okay,
you know,
but I have a question on that one.
Certainly.
What about for those of us who are physically challenged and have ADD or ADHD?
The same principle applies. Listen, physically challenged or not physically challenged, you're going to have to pick something that you can sink your attention into. Okay. Let's talk about, you know, like I said, I've known people that were paraplegic, quadriplegic, and it all came down to a simple thing. What is it that you really want? What do you want to do? Okay, here, I'll ask you. Out of all of the things that you could do, if money and time was not a problem or not an issue, what do you truly love to do? What would you truly love to do?
I would really love to be able to travel around and be able to see my friends who I've known for a number of years.
Okay.
And who have moved away or whatever.
Okay. All right. And if that person is accepting of that, then I believe that the both of you can get together and arrange something. But you have to ask yourself one simple question, and I'm going to ask this for you. What is stopping you, honestly?
What is stopping me?
Mm-hmm.
I have some personal issues that is stopping me right now.
Okay. Now, these personal
that
issues.
I really... Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Okay, I understand. All right. Now, these personal issues that are stopping you right now, these are issues that can be addressed, correct?
Yes.
Okay,
and
so
they
since they're being addressed, go ahead.
And they are being addressed and have been, one of them has been addressed and one is being addressed.
Okay, now, once we get them addressed, you have nothing that can stop you, right?
Mm-hmm.
Once we finish, we move on to these, you won't have anything. So how about we look at it this way? How about we look at that you're working towards a goal? You're working towards the goal of going to visit your friends, okay? You're working towards a goal, or maybe even doing something beyond that, enabling other people to get through their problems.
Mm-hmm.
So that they can do what they love to do. Now, based upon your particular energy, I can tell that you like doing things that are bigger than you, which is, you know, that's good. That's good.
Mm-hmm.
If you're going to like things that are going to be bigger than you, you've got to focus on what it is that you want to be bigger. Not just wanting to go see your friends, but maybe you can do something that will enable other people to get in touch with their friends. so that they can go see them. Listen, mm-hmm. when a person is going through hell, which you obviously are going through,
mm-hmm.
the idea is to remember where you've been. Okay? Remember what you're going through so that you can show someone else how to get out of hell.
I've been trying to do that for, yeah, and I have been trying to do that for many years or because I've had and you can even ask Charlie. She knows me. She knows me well. Mm-hmm. And sometimes I've blown her out of the water on a couple of things. And you can chime in here, Charlie, but I have had a very difficult past. Because
I can hear that.
Yeah, I was a foster kid at one point in my life. So I just was trying to, I'm not trying to get off track here. I'm trying to stay on track with what you were saying. And I just wanted to kind of see what can somebody that has a disability do to, with, in regards to what the question was.
You can, listen, you can study that disability. Do you understand? Like
mm-hmm.
I said, if you're in hell, you remember what you've seen, and you remember the way out, so that you can stop someone else from being stuck there. In other words, study the disability. Know what works, know what doesn't work. Go
mm-hmm.
once in a while to have some energy work done. Talk to people like you're doing.
Mm-hmm.
If those people are any good or they're worth their salt, they will listen to you. Okay?
Right.
Study that, what you're going through.
And that's a great point that he is bringing up, because a lot of times, and I have done this myself, which I have kicked myself for doing because I have actually worked in the medical industry when I was younger, is that when a doctor or a medical professional gives us a diagnosis, 9 times out of 10 we're like, okay.
Yeah.
Okay, that's it. We take the little pamphlet they give us, the little website link that they give us, we read all the horror stories, and again, I have a family member going through this now, where we don't do that. We don't do what Ahura, you just said about study it, understand it. Because, yes, there's a lot of people out there that don't have legitimate illnesses, and there's people that do have legitimate disabilities, like in Chris's case and the other legitimate illnesses, but we don't take this time to say, okay, I have this disease. I am not this disease. I have
exactly.
disease. Yes, and you know, Ahura, I learned that from you because it took me a long time to understand the difference. I am not ADD. I might have ADD, but I need to understand it. And it's great because in the chat room, some of the comments that were coming up hit the nail on the head so beautifully where Andy was the one that said, he's like, I can do what I love to do all day. The rest, not so much. The rest is what I have problems with. Well, that just answered the question that you said, that if we focus more on what we love to do that is productive, then it helps us if we study it to say, okay, I love to sing, so if I get through my housework and focus on it, having the ends in mind of I can go sing, I can go write a song, I can record a record, it helps us be focused as opposed to sitting there going, I hate housework, I hate laundry, hate it, my life sucks, let me focus on something else.
Yeah, my teacher used to call it this. She would say, discipline is freedom. And I didn't understand that at first, because I said, what do you mean discipline is freedom? You know, when she said this, listen, the more disciplined you are at doing something, the freer you are to do it. If you follow your disciplines, then you are free to do that which you love. Okay? The problem that most of us encounter is one simple thing, patience, because we have the wrong idea about patience. We think that patience is waiting around for something. But patience is not. It is moving. Okay? Remember, discipline. you know what your goal is, like you just said. You know what your goal is. In order for me to be free, in order for me to be free, I have to do this, 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 and this so that I can be free. Okay? You know, you can live your life, peacefully, but there is discipline to that. If you really want to do that which you love to do, then study where it is that you are. Be aware of your environment. You know, be aware of who is around you. Be aware of those things that need to happen in order for you to be free. Once you're free, then move on. Okay? Remember, balance is only to gain your ground. Many people waste their time trying to just achieve balance and nothing else. But remember, you only get balance so that you can take the next step. So if you remember these three things, discipline is freedom. The more disciplined you are, the freer you are to do something. Two, balance is only achieved so that you can take your next step. And patience is active. Patience is not waiting for anything. You're patient enough to get to where it is that you need to get. And once you're there, because you're too busy to have any expectations, you'll have complete fulfillment.
You know, it's very true because, Ahura, one of the things you said is people get balance and then nothing. And that's so true because I see it all the time. It manifests itself where people, okay, I'm overweight. So they go to the gym, they work out, they diet, they look great. And then they look great. And then they look great and then nothing. Because there's nothing, no balance
beyond that.
To what they're going to do with beyond that. That's right.
Mm-hmm.
Then they wind up going back in their own ways. And, you know, and they gain the weight and all that. And it's such an incredible concept what you're talking about that, even right now, I'm like, I felt like I just got slapped in the head with duh kind of thing because it's so true. And it's something so simple that we, like, dismiss it. Like, it can't be that simple. Like, I know for Chris, when he's talking about his disability, one of the things that I've always admired about Chris is the fact that he never let it limit what he would do. But that whole concept of studying your disability and realizing what that disability means to you and how it pertains to you and how you can overcome it specifically for you is amazing. It's such an incredible concept that it just has blown my mind away because it's so deep and so true, and we don't think of those things.
There's something else that you just pointed out. You've known Chris for a long time. Sorry, I don't mean the third person, you, Chris. But you said that he never lets anything stop him from doing what is needed to be done.
Mm-hmm.
So I have to ask you, Chris, is it really a disability that you have or just a temporary limitation?
No, it's a physical disability that I have.
No. I understand what you're saying about the physical, but is it really a disability or is it a limitation?
That's a really good question.
I mean,
that
is it just
good question.
Is it something that you're actually allowing to get in the way? I mean, because I understand that you can only do so much if you have a what is classified as a physical disability, but you have to think about all of the things that have been accomplished by people that have these physical disabilities. And, I mean, look at Mr. Hawking, for one. And, you know, truthfully, somebody that I admire, even though a lot of the things that he says I knew when I was six, he has overcome a lot. Okay?
Wow.
So is it just a limitation that you're allowing?
Mm-hmm.
Or is it a disability? I mean, because remember, if you're physically disabled and you're not allowed to, or you're not able to use something the way that other people use it, you adapt, right? And Charlie just told me, she just said that you don't allow things to get in the way.
Mm-hmm.
Okay?
That's very true.
So,
yeah.
I can't really call you disabled. I can say that you're allowing some limitation in your life. Okay?
Yeah,
you know,
there has been.
So,
yeah. And, you know, it's funny you say that because of the fact that, you know, it just blows my mind because I've known Chris for so long and I never really thought to put it in that sense because of the fact that we were just talking about medical doctors telling you you have 2 months to live. And people go, okay, let me go cash in my insurance policy, say my goodbyes, make sure my will is good, and I'm done. You know, it's funny, that's the extreme case, but if someone tells us, you have this disability,
we let them dictate to us what that disability means to us.
Exactly.
I can't do X, Y, and Z because this person told me, yet I personally have witnessed Chris do stuff that, quote, unquote, he shouldn't be able to do because of his disability. So, you know, it's amazing because that's one of the things Chris even mentioned it to me, and I know he doesn't mind me sharing this, where he felt like mentally he had been limiting himself a lot. Like he had gone through so much surgeries and you know, setbacks in the last 14 months that he felt limited that way. Like he felt like he was unmotivated.
And I do still feel somewhat limited.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
I mean,
right.
Well, this is the thing. You always have the opportunity to break through that limitation. All you have to do is address something. Find something that's going to resonate with you and do it. You don't have to do it perfectly. I mean, just do it. You know, find something you can do that you know that you can do, that's something that that you actually love to do or something that you like to do, and do it.
And don't think about the problem.
I'm sorry?
I'm actually doing something that I absolutely love to do, which I'm thankful for Charlie giving me and telling me that you're going to do this.
Mm-hmm.
And it's the show.
Oh, that would be her.
Which I look forward to doing.
It
was
like, you will do the show. And, you know, and the funny thing is that, and Laura, you know me, and I laugh because Chris has repeatedly said, I'm grateful for her letting me. I would be lost without Chris. I have had to do the show by myself a couple of times, and it was like, oh, my God. Dropping people, screwing up the switchboard, it's a lot for one person to do, and Chris has it down to a science. So
not
again,
so disabled, is he?
Yeah, no, and that's the thing that gets me, because a couple of times I've even told him, Chris, I wish you were in front of me when we're talking on the phone, because I want to dope slap you right now, because he downplays some of the things he does, like they're not that big of a deal.
I see.
I mean, you know, the fact that your legs don't work don't have anything to do with how sharp and astute you are mentally and the things you do and all of that. So this conversation has blown my mind. And I am going to tell you right now, Ahura, you are so coming back next week because I didn't even get to, like, the emails and stuff. People are going to hate me because I didn't get to them. But, yeah, definitely.
Well, Charlie,
Charlie,
I can't come back next week. I have next week is Chinese New Year, and you know Kazi.
I don't care.
Kazi will scalp me, okay? I'm serious. My daughter will scalp me if I say I'm doing a radio show when she's cooked all day. I can't do it. I can do it the week after, though. I'd be more than happy to.
That's awesome.
Hope,
we're definitely going to have Ahura. Because, see, that's the reason why I like having Ahura, because it's so diverse, and he just really digs deep to the core of what our show is about not limiting our way of thinking and not let other people think for us. And, Ahura, so thank you so much for being with us. I can't believe the time has gone by. We've got less than 3 minutes to wrap it up.
You're always welcome. Did you get the song I sent to you?
Yes. I didn't get a chance to upload it, but I'm going to.
I dedicated that for you.
Oh, I feel special now. Ahura, let everybody know where they can reach you up in glorious, freezing Maine that I love so much.
Okay. You can reach me at www.asktheunicorn.com. Or you can reach me at www.unicorn-cove.com, okay? Or you can check out Unicovia Pictures because of the film and films and everything, at which Charlie's going to be in again. And I will talk to you then. I do get to see you soon, yes?
Yes, we're actually going up there. My daughter-in-law wants me to take her up there, so we're going to see it. I'll call you and set that up. Yes, definitely. So, Ahura, thank you so much, and I will give you
a
call tomorrow so we can touch bases. And it was awesome. Everybody in the chat room, tell me how much they love you. Thanks, Ahura. So we got less than 2 minutes, guys. Thank you so much to everybody in the chat room, Amy, Andy. And, again, all you guys in there, if you have any questions after the show, email me, ordinarywoman@gmail.com. You can email me with any questions for Ahura. I will get them to him, and I will make sure he answers them when he's going to be on the show in a couple of weeks. I'm so excited. Like I said, I am so in the works to get him his own segment because, you need it, the things he covers. Thank you, everyone, for joining us. Remember, next week we're going to have the amazing Pamela Glashner, author of Cal Coon and Finding Amos, and Deborah Louise Robinson, the screenwriter for the movie of the same name that's coming out. So we're going to wrap it up real quick. Thank you so much to everybody for joining us. Remember, do not let anyone ever steal your dreams away, and nothing is impossible for the willing heart. And we're going to leave that with this song by Pisces Project, I Am. Good night, everybody, and thank you so much for joining us.
By the power given to me, and through the light that lives deep inside me, and in the nature of those who've made all things, I am. Raises a hand.